talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, November the 1st, 2023. First Friday in the month of November. And if you're keeping track, 20 days till Thanksgiving. First day broadcasting out of our new studio, First Exchange Club. Now, we don't have telephonic communication yet, so no telephone. Don't dial the number, even though I'll probably try to give you the number at some point during this broadcast. It's not there, but hopefully by tonight it will be there for the 8:15 to 10 p.m. shows. That's what we're hoping. So we'll see what happens. Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig in the studio today. Matt, for people who are just tuning in, we're at the new studio. What do you think?
I think it's nice. I mean, it's a little more compact than the other one, but overall, it's nice. I think it works better.
There you go, Pastor Craig. Now we'll get your
full cozy. Yeah, no, it's nice. I really like it, and it's going to work. It's going to work good.
And we've got a new top 10 list here coming up in this broadcast that I don't want to forget. But we do have some current events, and I think the biggest current event going on right now is the election, because we will not do another Exchange Club until after the election next Friday. And we've got a lot of things, so let's just run down the biggies here. And we're not going to start with issue one, because we did that on Pastor Whitaker's show, but we are going to get into it here, so just stay tuned for that. Let's start with the locals. Let's start with, I don't really think the city council, not that they're not important, but I don't think we've discussed them. I don't think we've had enough candidates on from city council to really get into that, so let's leave that where that is. Our Marion City has some school board issues going on. We haven't really got into that, so we'll leave that where it is. But River Valley, we've been into that. Now, this is how I started the show earlier. We did an interview with the superintendent, Wickham. He came on. It did get a lot of play. It got a lot of reaction. It was positive. There wasn't really anything more to it than that it went quite around. But then we had Cody Higley on Wednesday morning, who's running for River Valley School Board. And, boy, that got ugly and is still getting ugly to this moment. Did you happen to hear that interview?
I heard the first 10 minutes of it.
Okay.
So I was not aware that things got ugly.
Well, they didn't get ugly between he and I. When the interview was posted, the backlash is still going on. And I think we're up to about 70 comments since Wednesday on just that particular post. And it's just people back and forth, some in Cody's camp, some saying he's all off on his facts. And I think it had to do with the fact that during the interview, I asked him if he was going to vote for the levies. And he said he would vote for one. He didn't think it was perfect, but he would vote for one. And he would not vote for the income tax levy. And River Valley is serious about these levies, as we saw with Superintendent Wickham. So the question on this is, do you think the levies are going to pass? And then, do you think Cody should be getting all this heat to the point to where Cody was listening this morning and he actually had an issue with statement that we read this morning on the air?
Well, I did hear the part of the interview I did hear him say one thing, and I would have to agree with him. And he was talking about the levy, which I believe was a renewal levy.
That's the property tax.
Okay.
Property tax bond.
Property tax, right. And he had a problem with them saying that there would be no increase in taxes because the rate isn't increasing. And he had a problem with it because even though your rate doesn't change, over time the value of your property goes up, so that when you renew the levy, you're still paying the same rate, but you're going to pay more. And he had a problem, an issue with them saying, you know, no higher taxes. And I had to agree with him. I have to agree with him. And that's a very valid point, because it is somewhat, I mean, yeah, they're saying something that is factually true, but it gives the wrong impression, disingenuous.
Well, I guess, and again, what I think got him in trouble was saying he would not vote for one of the levies, and also he did knock the administration, in people's opinion, from the comments that I've read, and I have not read them all, but they just feel he wasn't factual. That seems to be where they're hitting him.
Okay.
You think that's a fair statement?
based on what I heard and what I know, I would say, I don't have any problem with him. I feel like it was factual. And, you know, I don't know if he's gotten any criticism just from the fact that he's running for board, but he says he's not going to vote for one of them. You know, if he's running for the board, or even if he's on the board and he doesn't feel that it's a good levy or like that, then I don't have a problem with him voting against it.
Matt, what do you think?
No, I think if he doesn't like the levy, I don't think he should vote in favor of it. I mean, earlier he sent a whole message to you explaining the whole situation, and he said a quote that I thought was pretty good. He said that he is supporting both the school and the taxpayer, like a good school board member should.
And basically that the insiders at the school who have a vested interest are who are attacking him.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true or not. There's no way to weed that out, but we'll see what happens. But just on an opinion basis, kind of an election prediction here for Tuesday night, do you think those issues will pass out in River Valley?
I haven't really, like, asked around or anything like that, but I'm going to say no just because levies have a bad history of passing.
What do you mean, Pastor Craig?
I don't know what the history of River Valley and levies, but I would have to say that there's probably somewhat of a mixed sentiment or a negative sentiment among voters in general. And if they've got two levies, I could see they might have a problem.
High voter turnout usually is not good for school levies.
Yes.
Because people will turn out in that district that are not in any way going to vote. And usually the only way you can get a levy to pass is if it's low voter turnout and a lot of parents and grandparents who do support it do turn out. That's with all schools.
So what are we predicting as far as the large number of potheads coming out to vote? How are they going to look at the school board issue?
Well, the county is, I would say, now see, this is going to be an interesting thing on election night as well. The county tends to be more Republican.
Right.
Now, will Marion County turn down recreational marijuana? It's not going to matter statewide, but will they vote it up? I don't know. So on the whole, I guess we feel those are not going to pass. Not that we don't want them to pass. Here's where I think there's been a problem. I think they overcorrected in River Valley. I think they wanted them to pass, clearly. Why wouldn't you want them to pass? But if you're River Valley. But the problem was when people laid out any attack against them, it seemed like they went after those people with such a fervor that I think that put people off in a way.
Yeah, and you know, the whole political situation, you know, it's one thing if you can talk about the issues, but we've got so much, you know, people going after people, attacking the person, not the issue.
Now we'll move on to the city, and really the only one I want to talk about here, because really it's the only one contested that is going to be very, very big, is going to be the mayoral race. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be Glenn Coble and Bill Collins. First time we're going to elect a new mayor in 16 years. Matt, how do you see that? You were kind of bland earlier. In the last 4 hours, have you come to a new decision on this? We need a prediction here.
I'm going to predict that Bill Collins most likely wins.
Okay.
But other than that, like nothing really changes. I don't really like either of them in terms of voting them into the mayorship.
You know, Glenn will be here that night, and Bill will be calling in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Glenn was here yesterday. Well, not here, but at the old studio.
He was.
I like Glenn, and I like.
You don't like him. I think you better clarify what you were saying.
Okay, let me rephrase. I like them. I guess I've never really talked to Bill Collins, so
Well, you were there when I interviewed him.
Yeah, but like that's a little different than just talking to him as like a you were interviewing him.
I threw that microphone right up in his face.
As a mayoral candidate.
I certainly did.
But I never talked to him as just like a, you know, a person. But like Glenn, I have talked to Glenn. Glenn's pretty cool. But I just don't like the fact that neither of them have any experience in terms of politics.
But you think Bill Collins will get the Duke?
I do.
Okay, how do you see that race, Pastor Craig, and then give us your prediction?
It's interesting. You know, I listened to Glenn yesterday, and I don't know. His campaign seems to be suffering a little bit having to talk about his campaign. Some things that, you know, Mayor Schertzer has said and things that Glenn says, and, you know, it's almost like the big issue is how he's done his campaign or not done his campaign. But regardless of that, I figure it'll probably be, I think Glenn will finish strong, but I think it'll probably go Collins's way.
Well, I think that, as I think I said this yesterday morning on the air, that I think in the beginning Glenn was seen as a long shot for several reasons, being a Democrat in Marion, and obviously not having big fundraising or big support and getting in at the last minute as he did. But I think these two issues, recreational marijuana and abortion, which nobody had any idea were going to be on the ballot back in January and February when this mayoral race was coming about, have changed things. And I have heard that people in the Bill Collins, now, I didn't hear from Bill Collins or anybody in his family, but I've heard from people that they're worried.
Well, that's why I say, I think Glenn is going to do strong.
He could win. I think the mistake, I'm not saying he's going to win, but I'm saying to think that he couldn't win is a mistake.
Right. Where back in January, I think the prevailing thought was, he's a really long shot. But, you know, things have changed. But I also think something else. It points out a much bigger problem. And that is, in Marion County, the Democratic Party, I mean, it's regardless of what you think of Glenn, how he ran his campaign, his, you know, qualifications for office, the fact that they can't field a candidate for the auditor's office, they really couldn't field a candidate for the mayor's race. I mean, the only reason, you know, Glenn says, you know, I volunteered because nobody else was going to do it. And, you know, there have been other things over recent years that just show that there seems to be a real problem within the party.
The interesting thing is there are so many moving parts in that particular race, because a lot of people are saying what I just said, because of a large voter turnout, and I do believe it'll be close to 20,000, if not 20,000, in Marion that night. We saw 12,000 in the special election, and that was just for a constitutional amendment that dealt with abortion. So says our Secretary of State. But that being said, then you get the argument that, well, but Marion County did vote against that congressional issue, and yes, that's true, but that included the county. This race between Bill and Glenn is just the city. And the city, we have had a Democratic mayor for 16 years. We do have Democratic council people in the second ward, in the first ward, and at large, president of city council is Democratic. So to think in the city, because people are looking at that number and going, yeah, large voter turnout probably is going to mean that recreational marijuana and abortion will pass, but in Marion County they didn't, and they're not going to this time. Maybe true, but remember, the county and the city are two separate places. You don't vote for mayor in the county.
It may be so close that I may be taking my sleeping bag and pillow to the Republican
and
headquarters.
And we will be there. We will be there all night. It's going to be a thing. Issue two. What do you think, Matt? This seems to be the less controversial of the two for whatever reason.
I think it'll pass in both Ohio and Marion.
You think?
Yep. I mean, I don't see a reason as to why not.
You pass big?
Yeah, I think so.
Pass bigger than issue one?
Yes.
I don't know. Why?
Because a lot of people just go, like it's recreational in Michigan. A lot of people go to Michigan to just get it. So I don't think that they want that to keep happening. People are risking like straight up drug trafficking charges to go to Michigan to bring back some marijuana.
But you know what? I have not seen one ad for it. Now maybe I'm just missing it, but I keep seeing this ad against it where the police officer comes in and says, we're against it. I've seen that several times.
I haven't seen an ad for it, you're right, but I've seen one ad against it.
Is it the police officer ad?
No, it's I don't even remember who it was, but basically they just said that they didn't like the fact that it was going to happen because... Nope, wrong one. I guess I have seen another one.
You've seen a couple.
Well, that one's for abortion.
Oh, well, we've seen those as well. But so in any event, they're out there.
They are out there.
They're out there against it. What do you think, Pastor?
I think, well, first of all, I want to say that, yeah, I you could almost go to the polls and not even know there was a state issue, too. I've seen that ad that you mentioned. I've seen it one time. I haven't seen a single ad in favor of it. Likewise, all the yard signs you see are issue one. I don't recall seeing a yard sign on issue two. So, you know, again, it's kind of like the, I don't know, it's almost a big secret. I think if it was maybe on the ballot by itself, we'd see a lot more ads. But it seems like it has taken a back seat. I personally don't think it'll fly in Marion County. I think it'll be defeated in Marion County. I think it has a very good chance of passing statewide. You know, you look at, you know, the six counties in Ohio that are the most populous, and quite often they'll swing an issue one way or the other.
I don't know if it'll pass in Marion, but I certainly do believe it'll pass statewide, and I think it'll pass with better than 60%, because it's one of those issues where in the rural areas, where things usually go down heavy, maybe only get 30% of the votes, I think it'll get more than 30%, because even in rural areas, I've known people who, and it is the younger group, that are registering to vote for the first time to pass it. So if it can get anywhere near 50% in the rural areas and still lose, and then do well, extremely well in the five counties where it normally would, I could see it passing to 60 or better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you asked me to put money on it, I wouldn't.
No. Yeah.
If you asked me to put money on it, my money would be, yeah, it's going to pass.
No. Do you have a margin in your mind?
No, I really don't. I don't know if maybe somewhere between, you know, 55% and 60% that it'll pass.
Which is pretty good in a high voter turnout.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people do you think are going to turn out that night? I'm saying close to 20 or right over it.
Well,
18 to 22 is where I'm putting it.
You're probably right. I mean, you're probably right. I think it's going to be that big. You know, for a non-presidential election, we're not electing Senate, you know,
governors, nothing.
Senators, governors, presidents, anything. I think it's probably going to be a big turnout.
Normally it would be about maybe 5,000 people would vote in this election.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Matt, turnout?
I think probably around 20,000 people.
And that's why it's going to be a late night, because they will prepare for 5,000. And they're going to get, I think, 20. And that's what's going to cause the long night.
Yeah.
Even though not a lot on the ballot. But I do think the issue one and issue two will be called statewide early, because I think the margins are going to be large.
Yeah. Yeah.
But locally, we'll be waiting on the mayor race and things like that.
Now, do you have, locally, is Marion, how much of the city council is up for open seat? I mean, how many?
The whole thing.
Okay, is it? It's everybody.
Yeah,
okay.
But there are some seats, like the at-large, there are three seats, and they've got three candidates.
Okay.
And a lot of people are running unopposed, okay. So there's that. Well, I know Ward 1 is unopposed. Ward 2 has a race. Ward 3 has a race. 4, I don't think they do have a race. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But there are some that are, that's why it's been kind of weak this year. Mm-hmm. And I think there are even some write-in candidates. So it's kind of odd. There's some judge races that night, though, that'll be interesting. Now we come to the one that's making all the news, and we're seeing all the ads, and we're hearing all the talk, and people, we've talked about it with Pastor Whitaker this morning. It's been talked about on the station. Every candidate who's running for things that don't even pertain to it are being asked about it. And here we go. Issue one, abortion, the legalization in Ohio. What do you think, Matt?
I think it'll pass. I would vote for it.
Why?
For the sheer fact that I don't think it's, I don't think that they should tell people that they can't. That's about it.
Well, like I told Pastor Whitaker earlier, the scuttlebutt that I'm hearing from mostly women who I'm talking to is that they wouldn't get an abortion, they have no intention to get an abortion, they didn't get an abortion when they could have, but they don't want anybody telling them what to do. They want to have the option, or they want people to have the option. So that's the feedback I keep hearing. What do you think is going to happen with that, Pastor Greg?
Yeah, I want to rob a bank. I don't think anybody should tell me that I can't do that. So,
Well, and doesn't that become... Now, that's interesting, though, but doesn't that become the issue overall here because robbing a bank's illegal? If we voted no on this, it becomes illegal. So then if you wanted to have one, you go to jail.
You know, it's really kind of funny because this whole issue is... It gets down to one thing, and that is the one thing that is being ignored in both sides. Everybody's got all these other issues that are coming up. You know, it's women's reproductive rights, and it's women's health care, and it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. The issue is about taking a human life, taking an innocent human life. That's what this is about. And that's, you know, it's a morale question. Who has the right to take an innocent person's life? That's what it boils down to, but that's not what's talked about. I mean, you know, for years we even had this whole discussion about, you know, when does life begin? And, you know, that's how the whole abortion debate was framed, was when does it begin? Well, now we've got, you know, DNA science and all that kind of stuff, so we know that human life begins at the moment of conception. So you throw that out, you don't use that argument anymore, and you get, now we're going to frame it as, you know, women's rights, reproductive rights. So, you know, I personally don't listen to either side because... You know, I got a problem with the arguments both sides are presenting. As far as where I stand on the issue, I didn't hear, you know, Steve Whitaker this morning, but...
I bet you can guess where he stood on it.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? Probably 92% of what he said would come out of my mouth, too, okay?
Well, what I said to him, and this is what I believe the counterpoint is to this, from people who don't have any skin in this game at all, are not big advocates either way when they go to the polls on Tuesday, is that the history of this is problematic for people who want it to be illegal. Because the history as it stands is that abortion became legalized by the federal government in the early 1970s. It stood that way for 50 years. You had Supreme Court justices who under oath testified that it's precedent, they all were asked about it, it's precedent, we wouldn't do anything with it. They get in there, first chance they get, they do something with it. But in overturning it after 50 years, they said, it's a state issue. Let's toss it to the state. And it goes to the state. It comes to the state, and the state knew that it was going to be on the ballot. They knew. There was no doubt they knew. So what do? They try to come in August, 3 months before the election, and raise the bar to take it out of the people's hands for an equal 50-50 race. And our Secretary of State goes so far as to say, oh, this is about abortion. Of course it is. It loses by an overwhelming majority to put a state amendment in the Constitution. And now, here we are voting on it. And I think the history is causing a major, major problem.
I would agree that the history of this has been a problem all along the way. When in 1970s they ruled that, you know, the Supreme Court ruled in Roe versus Wade that it could be legal, that there was the first big problem. It was never a right in the Constitution. They never should have ruled the way they did, and you know it belonged as a state issue, just like, you know, we have capital punishment for certain crimes. In some states we have the death penalty. In some states you don't have the death penalty, but that's be determined by each individual state. This should have always been something that would be determined by each individual state. You know, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade a year and a half ago, that was the right thing to do. I don't care where you stand on the abortion issue. From a constitutional legal standpoint, they did the right thing. The problem has been everything that's happened up to that point, and then the way the states have been handling it since. You know, everybody's scurrying to handle it in their state, and this is what you get.
Well, but I think the history of abortion is interesting in and of itself. But what I think, when I'm talking about the history of it, that's interesting is whatever you believe case law is, whatever you believe who is right and who is wrong on these issues, the problem is that you should not lie under oath. That puts people off. If they believed that it should be overturned, and they believed that that's what they were going to do the first case they got, they should have said that. They didn't do that because they knew they wouldn't be confirmed. Now, the same thing is going on when you look at every politician right now in the state of Ohio. The only politician who I've seen doing any ads against it in a big way is Governor DeWine. Governor DeWine cannot be elected again to his position. He is safe. Where this state is, the only statewide elected Democrat is Sherrod Brown. Where is any other politician who's vulnerable in an ad saying no?
Is Tucker Carlson? I don't know.
He's a television host.
I didn't really know who.
Where are any of them during this coming out and saying vote no, vote no, vote no? I don't even see our mayoral candidate taking that question on the Republican side, even though he would have nothing to do with it. Because they're looking at the polls going, ooh, if I go this way, just like the Supreme Court was looking at their confirmation, ooh, this might be bad if I say this. And that's, I think, what's off-putting to people.
Yeah, and so that says a whole lot about the integrity of our politicians, you know, countrywide. You know, where is the integrity? And you mentioned Sherrod Brown is our only elected official
statewide, I think.
J.D. Vance would be the other one.
As a Democrat?
No, as a Republican senator.
Right, I'm saying a Democrat.
As
the only Democrat statewide,
okay, okay,
I think,
I
is Sherrod Brown.
I got you. Okay, okay. Yeah. But, you know, it's been silent from so many people. You know, they're just taking their hands off of it. And again, you know, points back to integrity. Where I don't know, maybe politicians have never had integrity. I don't know.
Well, isn't that what they always say, the political barometer? Whatever way that's blowing is the way I'm going to go that day.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that. And it's not one side or the other. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so, based upon our feelings on this whole thing, it is going to be a big deal because once it's in there, it's in there, and it's going to happen on Tuesday, and I think takes effect in January. But again, setting aside personal feelings, does it pass on Tuesday night, Matt?
I think so.
Pastor?
Setting aside personal feelings, I think it probably passes. Now, I could be wrong on this, but I think it passes. But I think it's going to be a slimmer margin than the issue two.
Maybe slimmer than issue two, but I bet it'll be 60. I think it's one of those things. There's something driving people to register. There's something driving people to vote. Early voting is up over what it was in August. What is driving that in an off-year election?
Glenn Coble.
That's exactly right. And whatever that is that's driving that now, maybe it today is recreational marijuana, but I can't believe that. I think it's doing it somewhat, but I think it's number one, and I think that's why it's the first issue you'll vote on the ballot. So let's do a top 10 list, but we'll be on the air that night, 7:15 p.m., and we will not go off until all of these issues are taken care of, local and statewide. Pastor Craig will be at the Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. Matt will be at the Board of Elections. I'll be in studio with Sean and Terry. And Glenn Coble will be here. He's going to find out his fate. You're going to get the concession speech. Or I can't wait either way because I know he hasn't written a darn thing. And when this stuff all comes down, I can't wait to see what comes out of his mouth when the results start to come in. That's worth tuning into right there, just what's going to happen with that. And that's never been done before. We will get a call-in from Bill Collins that night, win or lose. Mary Ellen Withrow, I believe, will be here. I believe former Mayor Jack Kellogg will be here and possibly others. So don't Carrington will be here. And Carrington is going to be following, because as you know, the two state issues, we'll find out how they're going on in Marion from Matt down at the Board of Elections, but she's going to keep an eye on them statewide, so we'll also be reporting to you statewide on how that's all going to go. So we've got a big night Tuesday, 7:15, and we will not break away. Most comprehensive coverage you're ever going to find on planet Earth. Sum it up
here,
like that.
Here, here.
Here, here. Let's do a top 10 list. Let's have some fun here. Here we go. Whoa, that's a little loud for the top 10 list. We don't want to turn up the drum roll quite that loud.
Smaller studio, we're sitting closer to the drum.
That's exactly right. And the chopper, we could land it on the roof here.
Good.
So I'm getting excited.
Good.
You're going to go up with it.
Is there a helipad?
I don't know if there's a helipad, but our chopper's not that big.
Hey, we could land it on the roof.
We could land it on the roof. We could land it on a car. It's not a lot of room in that thing. All right. Top 10. Oh, this is this weekend. Daylight savings time. We gain an hour on Sunday morning at 2 a.m. Top 10 good things about daylight savings time, November the 5th. All right. Here we go. Number 10, you get an extra hour of sleep. Well, that's the common one.
Sure.
Number 9, more light in the morning means you hit fewer trash cans on your drive to work. That's a plus.
True.
Oh, absolutely. You may actually be able to have a cup of coffee before you listen to Scott Spears in the morning. Oh, I'm rushing people now because it's still dark outside. Number 7, it gives grouchy people something else to complain about. That is true. Oh, we hate daylight savings time.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the city of Marion leap ahead 1 year so the IRS will miss the deadline to collect all of its fines? Well, only if we could. Only if we could. Number 5, it brings us 1 hour closer to the annual WGH fruitcake toss.
Hear, hear.
Oh, that's...
Absolutely.
We've already had people trying to do nominations this morning. It's going to be big. Number 4, less time to be attacked by Worcester vampires. That's important.
Wow, she's really hanging around, isn't she?
That she is. She is. And she was in the USA Today.
Did she really make USA?
Not the front page, but she was in there.
Oh, golly, geez.
Everybody who is normally late at 8 may actually show up on time.
This is true.
Does this mean anything to you, Matt?
I love the way Scott just turned and looked at Matt.
Does that mean anything to you? Don't change your clock, as a matter of fact. Don't change them.
Which number was that again?
That was number 3.
Number 3. So can you read that again?
Yeah. Number 3. Now remember the category, top 10 good things about daylight savings time. Number 3. Everybody who is normally late at 8 a.m. may actually show up on time.
I'm going to throw in the a.m.
I'm going to emphasize where that one's going. Number 2, you get an extra hour to gobble Halloween candy. Yeah, there's probably some of that left. And the number 1 good thing about daylight savings time, November the 5th at 2 a.m., it's an automatic excuse to be late for anything good for 2 or 3 days. That is true. Top 10 list.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
I think number 3 should have been number 1, but that was a good one.
Number 1, yeah. Number 3 was definitely the... that was the strong one.
That was good.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
You're familiar with that.
Yeah, a little bit.
We might just have to get that particular top 10 framed
and put it on the wall.
With a highlight around number 3.
I think you're right. Now, Matt and I were talking about something earlier, and I think this is a good way to get away from the politics for a moment. When you say something negative about somebody, if you don't use their name, are we too thin-skinned? I mean, are people really this upset? Because I use my... Not that anybody said anything to me. Nobody really has, except we had the conversation on air. But I was talking about going to dinner with the presidents tomorrow
night.
You'll be there.
I'll be there.
There you go. So I was talking about that. And whose table are you at?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
They didn't give you a president?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
You might want to get there early.
Well,
don't you want to be at Harding's table?
Well, I'd be at any table. Because I actually don't have a personal favorite that I would want to be at. So I'll take whatever they give me.
The one year I went, I was at Harding's table, and I enjoyed them asking mistress questions. I just sat there and watched him answer those questions.
But meanwhile, you were feeding the people there the index cards with the questions. You didn't ask.
No, I didn't ask a thing. I just entertaining. So what I said was, and this it was totally offhanded because I was doing the promo for the dinner with the presidents, which I've been doing many, many mornings. I said, I didn't get a chance to go last year. It's kind of great that I'm going this year. And I think the person that I'll be there with this year will be much better than the person 2 years ago because I think this person gets it. I don't think that person really understood it. So it was kind of a drippy time, I think is what I said. Now, nobody has criticized me for this, but people don't like it when you say stuff like that, even if you don't put a name on it. And I don't think that that's a bad thing to say.
No, I mean, I don't think so either. You didn't put a name on it, and maybe that person would hear you, and they would know you were talking about them. And maybe there are three or four other people close to you that would know who the person was. But in the overall scheme of things, it's no big deal. And yes, as a society, we are way too thin-skinned.
I mean, is that really a diss?
No.
I mean, if I said the name, which I'm not going to say the name, but if I said the name, let's say it was you, Matt. If I said, you know, Matt, you just didn't know a whole lot about the president and you were kind of a drippy time. Is that really a heartbreaker?
No, I'd probably just be like, yeah, I mean, it was kind of boring.
There you go.
Matt would be, yeah, you're right. I don't know anything about those presidents.
Right. And I am sure this person had no clue. I'm sure they didn't. And, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
So why are we so thin-skinned?
Because we've got it too good in life. We're too entitled. We're, you know,
yeah.
Everybody gets upset. I mean, come on, seriously.
You know, our favorite subject, relationships here, I saw a post on social media last night, and I didn't read the whole thing because it was just, to me, it just came off goofy. But it was, somebody is sharing something about somebody they'd found recently. But basically, it was the end of it, but the reasons that they know that this is the one, you know, the favorite saying, basically was, you know, they don't have to tell you, you don't have to ask them if you're beautiful or something. It was a girl's post. But at the end, it was, God brought this person to me. And, you know, I like to think that God might have more important things to do than hook up everybody here on the planet with their right person. Now, before we go to a pastor's opinion on this, what do you think, Matt?
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. I think that God's probably got better things to do than to be hooking people up.
I mean, what kind of we had this conversation, and maybe it was on Pastor Whitaker's show, about are there disingenuous things to pray for? To me, that is a very disingenuous thing to pray for. Now, you can pray for what you want. I'm not telling you how or when or why to pray. But to me, I would never in my life think that would be something that I would pray for. Oh, bring me the right girl.
I would never counsel somebody and tell them to pray that God brings them the right person.
Now,
because that's not the way God operates. He's not involved in those kinds of things.
So this whole post that I just described, how would you describe that?
I would say it's unfortunate that that person feels that way.
It's silly.
Yeah. Because 5 years from now when the relationship is over, then, oh, wow, God made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, then what?
Yeah.
They never say that, though.
And they never do.
No, they never say, then it's God got me out of this.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's going to bring me another person.
He got you into it, and he's going to get you out of it. I don't know. The whole thing's just a little disingenuous to me when people make posts like that. And that's why I have always said, when I see a post where you're thanking somebody or giving somebody huge credit who is in your life a lot, like a significant other, I understand doing it with coworkers. I understand doing it with people you don't see a whole lot, because that's a different relationship. But when it's somebody who you see all the time, shouldn't they know? Your coworker might not know that they're doing a good job. I think your significant other would know.
You know, you've mentioned a few times where you don't like the Facebook post of, oh, today's our anniversary, our 15th anniversary, yeah, and, you know, I'm married to the most wonderful woman in the whole world, and I'm so blessed to have her as the mother of my children, and blah, 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 and goes on and on. And, you know, I hate those things, too.
There you go.
Because you tell that to that person, and I really hate those kinds of posts, because I have a friend that does that and posts that about his wife, you know, how wonderful she is and blah, blah, and all that. And unfortunately, I know the backstory.
Well, there always is one.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, here's my genuine problem with it. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever said this part, but here's my genuine problem with those posts is that, that you feel clearly, and I'm not saying the person told you to do it, so don't take the word obligated as told you to do it, but you clearly feel obligated to do that. And that, to me, is strange, because shouldn't they be, if they are in it with you, shouldn't they do that anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, why do you have to thank them for that and then thank them in public that you do that? Now, a coworker is different because you don't have to do above and beyond. You don't have to do that. You don't have to bring me a candy bar. You don't have to buy me a pop. You don't have to go an extra mile and show up for a shift you didn't have to. You don't have to do those things. But if you're in a relationship, isn't it expected that you're supposed to love the person? Isn't it expected that you're supposed to go places with them? Isn't that the point?
Yeah, and you know, the spouse should be asking themselves, why do you have to announce this publicly?
Right. Right. And what is the reason?
Yeah. Are you leaving me next week?
Well, you know what? I always think it's to show people, aren't we happy?
I think that every time...
And you aren't.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that I guess I can't say every time, but I think that the large majority of the time if somebody posts something like this, things are either getting rough or they're doing it as like a brag. Other than that, I don't think anybody does it to genuinely thank the person that they
can't be
thank.
Because it's not normal to do that.
Right. It's like a public service announcement for nothing.
Yeah. Well, did you hear I might be the king of Caledonia Christmas this year?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
I caught a couple minutes of that.
There's going to be a tree lighting, and 'twas the night before Christmas, and Matt's going to dress up like a reindeer.
I heard about 3 minutes there, and he's going to sing Jingle Bells?
Yes, he is. And the first Noel.
I'll have to learn.
We've got the lyrics over there in a drawer.
Will he have lyrics spelled out like this?
He'll have to.
For Jingle Bells?
He will.
For Jingle Bells?
But you know Jingle Bells.
No. Like, you know...
How hard is Jingle Bells?
So you know, like, the portion of Jingle Bells that I sang for you? Like, live?
Yeah.
That's about all I
what
got.
What do you know? Give it to him again.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock.
Well, that's not Jingle Bells.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Jingle Bell.
We're off to a bad start.
Yeah, I have no clue.
My baloney has a first name.
See, this is why I need them lyrics.
This is why I need them lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to sing them songs. That's going to be great. Dressed as a reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's worth the price of admission right there.
Is he going to have antlers?
I would guess. Yeah, what makes a reindeer a reindeer?
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be a thing.
It'll be
Carrington
good.
Will be there. Yeah, Sean will be there.
She can't have antlers.
I don't know what she can have. She's a little different. She's a little different. God bless her heart. But we're going to have fun Christmas. What date was that? December the...
The
9th.
So this is in Caledonia.
Caledonia.
Okay.
I haven't been back over there in quite a bit. There's not really any reason to go to Caledonia.
Are you going to film it?
Yes, okay. We will film this. Because I feel this is something we should have on film for life.
I mean, I'm going to be there.
You have to be.
When is it?
It's December the 9th, 6:15 is when this whole process will begin.
Is that a Saturday?
Saturday.
I'm going to be there.
Now, what's going to happen is I'm going to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Okay.
And then they're going to sing Jingle Bells. And then we're going to light the tree. And then they're going to sing the first Noel.
Matt, do you know who Emmett Moore is?
No.
Okay.
That's bad.
Who's Emmett Moore?
Yeah, Christmas. Look it up. You're gonna have to, and Carrington's gonna have an elf hat on.
Okay.
And a necklace.
So she won't be dressed as a reindeer like Matt.
Not that I'm aware of, unless they have two.
So she's gonna be elf, and
he's gonna be elf, and Matt's gonna be a reindeer.
Well, you're gonna have to do a red nose because he's gonna be Rudolph.
You gotta be Rudolph. That's probably the most famous reindeer of all, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he got a whole song, don't he?
Don't he?
Can you name the other reindeer?
Let's see. We got Rudolph. We got Blitzen. We got.
Well, that's two.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen.
The rhyming ones.
isn't there like a Cupid?
Yep.
Comet, Cupid.
That's about all I got.
Donner.
I wouldn't have gotten that one.
And the guy who was blitzed, Blitzen.
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 Yep.
Wolf Blitzen.
There's eight reindeer, okay. Right?
Wolf Blitzen.
Eight reindeer, and one Rudolph. Rudolph's not counted in the eight.
Yes.
There you go.
All right.
What's coming up next, Pastor, on Study His Word?
Well, we're actually going to take a very serious turn, and...
More serious than this?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe.
How are you going
to
do that?
I may not tackle it.
People might cry.
No, we're going to talk about the situation in Israel with Israel and Hamas, but we're going to look at it from history, the history of problems, and really it starts 4,000 years ago, so
it goes way back.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about.
All right, and Matt and I will be back tonight with Carrington and possibly Sean, I'm not sure yet, but 8:15 to 10 p.m. on the station, and hopefully we'll have a phone tonight. We'll see what happens. For this day, Pastor Craig, Matt Morgan, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned. Study His Word up next.
Steve and Scott Spears, and it's a great time where we just bounce ideas and thoughts back and forth on the day and different things going on. I invite you to join in and listen and talk over the air with us. Just call in 383-9944. We would love to hear from you, and we'll hear you on the show.
Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Scott Spears every Friday morning here on WGH Talk from 9:15 until 10 a.m.